Well, I think we'll go ahead and get started. I know for a fact Mr. Dexter has seen this talk before. I have no idea why he's here.
For the quotation about mute Texas.
Ah, okay. I do feel obliged to say I've given this talk before at NYCBSDCon. They filmed it, and it's one of the talks that has actually made it online. I have updated the talk since then because publishing has changed, but you can get 80, 85% of this online. So if you want to go see, I think it's Lua or the Amazon Cloud talk, and watch this later, I will not be offended if you get up and leave. If you all left to see other talks, well, you know, I can kick back and chill for a while. That's fine. So, this is BSD Needs Books. My name is Michael Lucas. I've written a few BSD books. I'm hoping to do a few more. And this is about how the publishing industry works and how you should write your BSD book. Now, one of the nice things about being an author is when you go to give a talk or something, you get swag to give away. I have some recent books here. I'll give them away at, you know, a good question or any excuse, because otherwise I have to carry them home. So if you have a question during the talk, feel free to raise your hand. I may tell you we'll talk about that in a bit, but go ahead and ask. So we'll be covering what you do before you write a book, what publishers are and how you work with them, how you actually write the book, how you review the book, how the actual work of publishing goes, promoting your book, how to write a decent book, and last, what I'm going to be coming out with next. That's part of promotions, yes, yes. Great question. Here, have a book. So there is a problem we're trying to solve here. Books give credibility to an open source project. If you have a book or two on the shelf at Barnes & Noble, or you have someone goes to Amazon and sees that, yes, there are books about what it is you do, then you seem to be a little more real than if you didn't have a book. I can't write them all. I have a day job. Peter also has a day job. Someone should write them, and one of the nice things about the BSD community is someone means you. The hard part of this is that publishers specifically don't want lousy books, and readers don't want lousy books. Especially in tech books, if you've paid $40 for a book, it had better not suck. The information better be correct, and it should be readable. I think we've all read, you know, those 700 or 1,000 page books that you can only take in very small chunks because they're painful to read. Doing this well is not hard, but it is a lot of work. Yes. We'll get there. The part that's hard for us, in particular in computing, is you have to use the tools that the publisher wants to work with. I'm going to pick on Greg Leahy for a moment because he's retired and he's not here. He wrote the complete free BSD in Groff. He marked up this little book as a man page. Now, he's a master of that tool. O'Reilly wanted his book submitted as their particular variant of DocBook. That's why the last version of the Complete FreeBSD looks a lot different than the other O'Reilly books, because he used different tools. The good news is, if writing was hard, I wouldn't do it. It's indoor work with no heavy lifting. Publishers actively want decent books. Readers want decent books. And the standards for decent are really low. That awful book that was that thick that you had to force yourself to get through, that book cleared the bar. Imagine what got rejected. And publishers want new topics, and you can define your new topic any way you want. So you have an idea for a book. And it's something, you don't have to understand the topic already. You just have to have it something you think you can learn. Something that you're curious about. And yes, you can't make that too big of a jump. I'm a systems administrator. If I wanted to write a book on kernel programming, it would take a long time for me to learn enough of it to write that book. But for me to write a book on a new operating system, I could realistically pick that up and learn about it well enough to write. And to see if your idea has legs, I'll write about the topic in a couple of smaller forums first. Do some blog posts, magazine articles. Any of those markets are usually very happy to get an article on a topic. You may find out that your great idea just doesn't have legs. You've got an article about it, and that's all there is. You may find out that nobody cares. There's lots of ways to get disappointed, but it's easier to be disappointed when it's really small than after you've written an entire book. So, another thing you come up against are competing titles. I'm probably best known for my absolute BSD books, FreeBSD, OpenBSD, the generic one from 10 years ago. And the first book in a market on a topic sells more than all other books on the topic combined. For example, let's look at the standard definitive FreeBSD systems administration book. The one that has outsold everything, and that, of course, is the Complete FreeBSD, Greg Leahy. I will never sell as many FreeBSD books as Greg did. It is not going to happen. I don't care how many editions, how many revisions, it's done and over with. He wins. He won by being first. Try to be first. You know, yet another book on X is not what you want to write. So let's pick a sample author. When I gave this talk the first time, George Neville Neal was the moderator, so I named my sample author George, and he's decided he wants to write a book about FreeBSD. And if you were in New York, you need to shut up. But if this is the first time you've seen this talk, what should George call his book about FreeBSD internals? Who was that? Here, have a book. Pick one yourself. Right. We're all obviously hungover. I should expect nothing else from this indecently early hour of 11:30. In this case, George assures me that this is not the title of the next version of his book. That's what I thought. So, how do you prepare to write a book? Well, first off, see what other people have done. Read books that are good, that are kind of like what you want to do. Read books that are kind of like what you want to do, but that really suck. See what works, what doesn't. It's much like learning to program. See what the people who have come before you have done and think how could you do better? So we're going to detour into publishers for a moment. These days, there's a lot of print on demand. There are e-books, EPUB. We have a talk on EPUB later. Why would you want a publisher? Well, most of you have much better things to do than layout, artwork, fixing grammar, fixing readability, doing your own publicity, distribution, blah, 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 whole bunch of stuff. Books are carefully designed to be readable. I mean, the physical layout, and it's harder than it looks. You can tell the difference between a web app written by an engineer and a web app written by an expert in usability. And interface poisoning is not a pretty condition. It makes people stay away from whatever it is you're doing. And the most important reason is that books written by programmers resemble programs written by authors. I mean, I'm an author, I'm a systems administrator. When I write code, I'm happy if it compiles. If it doesn't segfault immediately when it executes, I'm ecstatic. I write mostly in Perl. I debug everything with print statements. I know there's better ways. Ah, thank you. But a lot of you guys have worked a long time to learn how to program. And I imagine that a lot of you, when you walk into a bookstore and you see a book like How to Program C in 24 Hours, it kind of runs your profession down, but it's also kind of like seeing a book that says, Learn Brain Surgery in 24 Hours. It's more complicated than that. I would encourage you to go for a publisher. So pick one. Go look at books. Who publishes the kind of book you want to write? Not all publishers are equal. Talk to authors who use the publisher. Most authors will happily gripe about their publisher for hours on end. And just like anything else, listen to their complaints. If they're complaining, well, they changed a few words and the cover wasn't what I wanted, well, the publisher is fine. If the complaint is that the books fell apart and they haven't been paid, you want to avoid that publisher. Look at the publisher's website. Find their guidelines for talking to them. Talking to a publisher is much like filing a bug report. There are instructions. Follow them. And usually, the instructions include how to do a book proposal. And the These are some common things that you'll see. They want an outline. They want some sample texts that will show the publisher that you can nail a verb to a noun and call it a sentence. They want a description of what the book is. And what the publisher really cares about is who would purchase this book. The publisher does not give a damn about BSD. They really don't. What they care about is money, and this kind of goes to the topic question as well. How many people would buy this book? And if you can design your book such that it would have a sufficiently large audience, well, there's a chance they'll buy it. And as you put this stuff together, make it resemble other books by the author. Structure your outline in a similar way to other books the publisher has out. Both. There is a different approach between physical books and e-books. Publishers today do both. That's where promotion comes in. The short answer is, I think today I am the best-selling BSD author. I have not seen my books on a shelf in 6 years. Yes. Amazon owns me. They own my career, and that is just how it is for anybody in this room. Oh, yes, they're very much limiting. On the other hand, Borders imploded. Barnes & Noble is not doing much better. The physical book market, or the physical walk into a store and pick up a book market is imploding rapidly. People want physical books, they want e-books, and they want to be able to order them. Why I chose it, if I have time at the end, I will answer that question. If you catch me later, I will answer that question. And if you feed me, I will answer almost any question. Why did I choose my publisher? What I will say quickly right now is I adore my publisher. So, you've picked your publisher. Follow the instructions. They'll tell you how soon you should hear from them. If you don't hear from them in that time, send a follow-up. If they don't specify how soon to ask, 90 days is traditional. Some people, some authors, will use an agent to find a publisher. Now, an agent does, there are good agents and bad agents. I personally don't use one. They're not necessary in tech publishing, and an agent will take 15 to 20% of your income. Yes, an agent will do his best to maximize your income so that his cut is larger. And any agent who does not work in that way, run away from. But if you don't want to go through finding publishers and doing the research, an agent is an option. Things to remember, agencies never require non-expense money. And by expenses, I mean things like, you know, postage for your book. The proof has to be delivered in 24 hours physically, and they want to ding you for the $10. Fine. Lunch is not an agent expense. Lights and heat are not an agent expense. And the rule one when you have an agent is that money flows towards the author. Money should not, the agent should not say, we will give you 70% of your income on this book after our expenses. No, no. The agent gets a cut of what he sends to you. Because once you turn that around, there are lots of ways to play with the numbers. So, you're going to get a contract. First thing to look at in your contract is authors do not sell books. We license copyright. I hope I don't have to explain the difference to anyone in the BSD community. Okay. things to look at. What rights are being sold? Do they have the right to your book worldwide? Is it in one country? Revision rights. This is a big deal in technical books. Do they have the right to come out with a second edition? Do they have the right to make you do the second edition? For example, let's say Claudio up there was to submit a book on writing OpenBSD device drivers, but the contract has a line that says, we have the right to require from you that you will submit a second edition on request. 5 years later, Claudio has come to his senses and he's now a yak farmer somewhere in a third world country and much more peaceful and happy now. And he's not going to do this second edition, but some other little clause in the contract kicks in, and now he has to pay for another author to write that second edition. Watch out for things like that. Usually what it will be is they have the right to do a second edition. They will ask you first to do the book, and if you turn it down, they have a right to take it and revise it. To revise your book. If you write a book and it turns out to be the smash bestseller and you do not wish to write a second edition, usually they'll hire someone else and you get a reduced portion of the income from that. When do rights come back to you? This is less of a deal in the tech business because, you know, my rights for my first book will revert to me in a few years and the book is, you know, completely obsolete. But do they ever come back? What about electronic rights? Advances and royalties, we all want to know about money, but the thing is to remember is an advance is money given to you before you've written or before the book is printed. That's an advance against your royalties. A royalty is a percentage of that you get from the sale price of each book. For example, my publisher offers a deal where I can get an $8,000 advance and no royalty. And there's a sliding scale up to a no advance and a 15% royalty. So the smart thing to do is take the royalty. It takes much longer for the money to come in. And I'm taking a little more risk on that. But, you know, I got $104 last month on money that was still trickling in from Absolute BSD. And that was, you know, from a six-month period. And a lot of that was money that was held against returns and the rolling reserves. The book industry is stupid. When a bookstore buys a book, they have the right to return it to the publisher and get a refund months or years after they buy the book. The assumption that a bookstore makes is that 50% of the books they buy will be returned. Now the publisher has paid you your royalty on that book that is now being returned. So they usually withhold anywhere from 25 to 50% of your royalties for up to 2 years against the risk of returns. 25% is reasonable and customary. 50% is some publishers do that. However, if the publisher does that, an author who uses that publisher will certainly tell you when you interview them about their experience with the publisher. So, you have a publisher. You've got an idea. You have a contract. Now all you have to do is write the book. And this is a very simplistic approach, but I have to say this is the only one I have found that works. You have your book outline, divide it into chunks. Say how many chunks you're going to write in what period of time, and stick to it. However you divide that outline is up to you. The critical thing is you must not allow yourself to fall behind, because it's like anything else. If you say that you're going to save $100 a paycheck and in 2 years you're going to buy yourself the big new flat screen TV and home media entertainment extravaganza, but 1 month you can't save because of this, and 1 month you can't save because of that. Pretty soon you've hit the end of your goal and you've failed. Break it up, stick to it. And the key to sticking to it is doing what I call a vomit draft. The most difficult part of writing is your first draft. Rewriting is so much easier than writing. So, make the first draft as easy as possible. Take your outline and just throw stuff out of your brain. Get it on paper. Get it on the screen in some kind of shape. Include code snippets. Include bits of script. Whatever. Just don't revise. Don't go back and check it. Just get it out. This lets you, one, you have something you can call a book. It's a sucky book, but it is a book. It also lets you see what goes where and lets you figure out what does the reader really need to know before he gets to this point. What topics do you have to cover in chapter one, so you can refer to them again in chapter 2 and chapter 3, etc. And you'll find that you really have to think about that ordering, because more than once I've said, oh, you have to know about A before B, and you have to know about B before A. And you have to stop and really think about what information is contained in each of those. And frequently, the result is you have to break each of those up into subtopics so you can shuffle them together. But that's absolutely necessary to making a book that is useful to the reader. So, you have your vomit draft. You have to revise this thing. And I've got two rules for revision. Most people start to revise way too early. They'll write their first chapter and say, oh, this is so awful, I've got to redo it. No, you don't. Keep going. When you get the whole thing done, then go back. Try to assemble things back into proper language. Another thing that you need to be aware of are tics. Things that show up in your writing. And it doesn't matter how long you've been writing, you'll find that you develop new weird things as you go on. My new book, The Network Flow Analysis, is about 140 pages. And I use the words, for example, 150-some times. And generally speaking, those words are not necessary at all. But I fell into that little written tick, and it made it through the publisher. Nobody noticed. Until, of course, it was in print. So, you have something that you think is a book manuscript. You need it reviewed. The person you need here is a wise reader. The wise reader is someone who could have written this book but couldn't be bothered. He is someone who does not mind hurting your feelings. You don't want someone to come who will come back and say, you know, you smell bad and your mother dresses you funny. This is not helpful. But you want someone who will give you honest and much like a code review. I'm sure everybody in this room, especially everybody with a commit bit, knows exactly what a useful review looks like. And someone who's willing to spend the time, and frequently people can be bribed to do this. And they have to be the right person. So let's say George asked me to review his book on FreeBSD internals. These are some of the sorts of things that I would say about his book. And they're all useful, well, maybe not the last one, but they may all be correct. But this is not the sort of thing that you need for this type of book. Find someone, say, John Baldwin, who would come back with technical comments about things that the book should include and other points and what the book should include as real information for the reader. And then there are people who you might think would be useful and who would provide intelligent feedback. And that may be true. But it's not exactly useful. So you need to choose your reviewer, your wise reader, very carefully. Another alternative that I've done on several occasions is to crowdsource reviews. You go to the community and say, would you read this? Would you help me make this book suck less than it will otherwise? And usually they're happy to. There are always people in the community who want to see a book not suck. The hard part is you've got to corral these people. I find that when I get a bunch of people who are willing to review, about half of them will actually return anything useful. And you have to aggregate all this data. And this makes the last point especially critical. The review copies that you hand out all need to be in one format. I used to hand out reviews copies as text, PDF, open office documents, and postscript. The problem is when these reviews come back, they come back as open office comments, as diffs to text files, as text files with comments buried in them, as separate emails with, you know, page numbers on occasion referenced, as comments in Adobe PDF. Apparently Macs will let you comment on PDFs by default. As additional postscript files. And when you try to pull this information together, it's not exactly easy. And what is easy is missing useful comments. And then so you miss someone's comments, then the book comes out, the error isn't corrected, and the guy who took his time to provide the feedback is PO'd because you missed the critical word in his diff of your text file. So I send all of my review chapters out as PDF. It's not what most people would prefer, but it does mean that if you're willing to spend the time, I will see your comment. So another thing to look at is publisher workflow. How does the publisher publish the book? Ask your publisher and ask the author you talk to about the publisher. How are they expecting you to send the book? Will they send any changes back to you for review? How many editing cycles do they do? Here is how it works at No Starch Press, or here is how I work with them. I write and rewrite the book. I crowdsource my reviews. I submit the chapters to No Starch. They send them back. I make corrections. I send to No Starch. They send them back. I make corrections. And eventually, we go to print. And after that comes the most critical point of the process. That's when we really find the errors. And despite all of these cycles of review, there will be mistakes. There are other publishers I'm not going to name because we're recording. They have a slightly less rigorous workflow. Talk with people who use the publisher and find out what the publisher does with the manuscript. So, you've gone through all this. You want to get a physical copy of your book. The author is frequently the last person to get a copy. It's much more important that the book get sent to distributors and reviewers than you. So don't hold your breath. A nice publisher will ask the distributor to ship a box with a small number of books, however many are specified in your contract, to you. Depending on the book, you may get extra copies. My Cisco book, they sent me a box of like 70 copies. So I'm down to, I think I still have 4 at home. But the BSD books are considerably bigger and much fewer will fit in a box. So, your book is out. Your publisher may or may not do publicity for the book. If they do, be grateful. If not, get out there and tell people about it any way you can. Your biggest enemy, much like an open source project, is obscurity. If people have not heard of your book, they're not going to buy it. The nice thing about tech books is if you write a good book about an open source community, the community itself will recommend the book. And even if you have a Facebook page, even if you have a blog that provides useful content, a tech book, if you sell 5,000 copies, be ecstatic. And in short, if someone asks you to do an interview, to do a talk at a conference, to pick just a totally arbitrary example, you smile and say, yes, I'd love to. So, another alternative, skip the publisher, self-publish. 187,000 books were self-published in the United States last year. Most of them are sewage. Everybody thinks that they can write a book, and mostly they're wrong. Everybody in here is very smart, I'm sure if you put your mind to learning how to do all this, you could. There are lots of channels for getting your book out. If you decide to self-publish, invest the money beforehand. Hire an editor. Hire a copy editor. Hire a proofreader. Hire a technical editor. These are expenses up front. But the BSD community is known for quality. And the last thing I want to see is a sewage BSD book. We've mostly avoided that, which is not true if you go looking, say, in the Linux camp. So please, if you're going to do that, get help. So what will happen as a result of this? You have your book out. The rewards are, if you're in the 1990 census, among all the people who listed their profession as author, including Stephen King, Danielle Steele, and Tom Clancy, all of those guys, on an average, authors made very slightly more than migrant farm workers. You're not going to get rich. Deal. So, reviews. Reviews are the best thing that can happen to your book. Even if they hate the book. If they love the book, it's really nice. It can give you a warm, fuzzy feeling, and that's great. If they hate the book, at least it's publicity. There is one person in particular who I think I offended at some point because they make it a point to negatively review every one of my books. The good news is that they negatively review them based on my writing style and how I organized and designed the book. And that, at least, is a matter of taste. Some people don't like how I write. Deal with it. How do you answer a bad review? You can do one of two things. If you are a big person, you write them a note and say, thank you for taking the time to review my book. I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it, but I appreciate it. Thank you. The other way is silence. If you go online and start yelling about how this reviewer is wrong, the only thing you will do is make yourself look like a jackass and turn people off from buying your book. You get that horrible, scathing review, you go into a room, you shut the door, you scream loudly for 5 minutes, and go have a beer and get on with your life. That's all you can do. Another thing with books, kind of annoyingly, is, you know, you can get any book published for free on the internet. Deal with it. Suck it up. I have had my books available on RapidShare before I've seen a copy. Now, some people, I don't mind if they read my book online. If it's someone in a third world country, fine. If it is someone, you know, a junior high student is not going to pay professional money for a book, fine. The only time I really mind is if someone is using my book to make money. At one time, I had someone come up to me and say, that was a great book. I installed that on several hundred servers, and I'm making money hand over fist, and you know, I just grabbed it right off of RapidShare, and thank you so much. I didn't know what to say. Now, of course, having had time, my response is, great, where's my cut? So if you're going to download the book to make money, please send me a check. Some people think that I should put up a tip jar for that. That cuts out the publisher and others who did work on the book. And speaking of piracy, remember, you need permission to use samples of other people's work. When I'm writing a book, if I want to quote someone's email, even if it's public, it's much easier to send that person a note and say, do you mind? They generally don't, and if they do, I'd rather not, you know, just arbitrarily piss them off. So we have a few minutes quickly. How to write a book well. O'Reilly Publishing has this saying internally that it's easier to teach a techie to be an author than an author to be a techie. And that's mostly true. So, before you write a book, two things you should read. Elements of Style. It's a book of grammar. Read it. It's just like Knuth's Book of Algorithms. You know, this is just how you do it. Learn it. And there's also an essay available online by George Orwell, Politics and the English Language. I recommend that. It's much shorter than Elements of Style, and I'm not going to go through all of these rules, but in short, it's a few simple guidelines that can keep your actual writing from sucking too badly. Okay, personality. I get some flack for this, but so you should be aware there are people who want books to be dry, dull, boring, matter of fact. And personally, I like books that are a little more lively. A book is an interaction between the reader and the author. I've read a lot of books that are interactions that I'd rather not have. So if you have to be boring, show the reader why it is important. Put a little bit of character in the book. For example, my network analysis book, the narrator of that book repeatedly suggests blackmail just to keep the reader and me from being bored. So I love Richard Beitlick because of this one quote from a review. And so how do you know what the reader needs to do? As you do it, write it down. A notebook, use script, write a brief blog article, whatever. As you are doing it, don't go back and try to figure out what you did before. How did I write this piece of code last month? No, as you're writing the code, take some notes, saying this is why you made these design decisions. So, I promised months ago I would say what my next books are at this talk. So, I am trying, after giving the long rant about don't self-publish, I'm doing a small self-published book on OpenSSH because I am sick of people who say, yeah, I'm secure, I use PuTTY, I type in my username and password, and it's secure because it's SSH. Okay, it's better than Telnet, but we can do a little better. However, I am hiring an editor. And my next mainstream book is a second edition of the OpenBSD book. Having the book available as from a mainstream publisher is simply more credible today. It may not always be the case, but I'm hoping to. I do have a reviewer. Time is going to tell whether Peter is better or not. So if you want updates on how those things are going, the big updates are on my blog. Real Trivia is on my Twitter feed. Stuff like, oh, I wrote 500 words on chapter 12 today. Whee! But somehow people keep signing up. So, well, okay. And, yes?
So, when are you going to finally put out the LDAP book?
I gave you a book, right? Yeah. Give it back. So, No, I have been asked to do a second edition repeatedly, and life has... If I am not doing something in production in the real world, I am not going to write a book about it. I worked for a few years for an automotive firm, which was an educational experience in how not to do things. I mean, I like the people there, don't get me wrong, but oy. So I'm now working for a telecom/ISP. I have OpenBSD systems in production in the real world getting smacked about, so I can now legitimately write a book about, you know, what I'm doing with it. Even if I'm, you know, I'm not running BGPD in production, but I'm doing enough with it that I can legitimately say I am using it. So, actually, and that's a great question, so come over here and grab a book. The thing to remember, when you're done, this is where most books end up. This is a book recycler, where people may come through and buy books for $1 a box, bring your own box, however big, they don't care. Anything left behind, you slice the bindings off and you turn it into TP. So. Oh. I've had multiple books translated, yes. Oh, okay. Translations are an interesting case. Generally, I have no involvement. Occasionally, I get a question from the translator. It's happened twice, and my books have been translated into 9 languages. So my big concern with translations is how the book translates. My books have some attitude. The last book has a topic right in the first paragraph that says, whatever kind of network administrator you are, you share one desire with all other network administrators. You want your users to shut up. And this makes perfect sense in English. I don't know how this comes across in Japanese or French or... So, other than that, really no. I get copies sent to me in the mail. I have a few books in German, yes. 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 I have, occasionally, I get an email from a reader of a translated book saying either this was a great translation or this was a lousy translation. I'm really interested to get those because I can talk with my publisher, forward that information, and it won't help that book, But if a translator has done a lousy job with one book, the publisher is really hesitant to sell them the rights to translate further books. Because, again, we don't want lousy books out with our name on them. Oh, there are lots of books that I wish I'd written. What's the name? Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I would love to have written that book. Books like, Stevens' TCP/IP Omnibus. The Practice of Network and Systems Administration. I was actually planning to write that book, and then Lehman Sely and Company beat me to it, and I read it and realized, wow, this is better than I could have done. So, no. Usually what happens is I write a book, the book bombs, and then I say, I wasted a year on that book. As for some reason, it doesn't matter how long the book is. It seems to take a year to write. Right, I gave you a book. You keep asking questions. Here, have another book. Ah, well, then, would you like the rest of them? Well, you're already screwed. So, just go with it. Okay, if there's no other... Yes. No.
How do you find your relationship with the people that are doing development? Are you getting enough information from the developers? Like,
do you
try to build relationships with developers to get information in advance?
Yes and no. Usually I write a book about something that I'm interested in or something that I think is important. I wrote a book about PGP and GPG because I thought it was important. And I had, decent back and forth with the community, but I didn't go out beforehand and look to make friends. That is sucking up. And I know there's people who do that, but I'm just not any good at it. It's much easier to have a friendly relationship with people with something that you use and talk with them. Most people are happy to talk about their work. Most people are happy that someone has taken an interest. Most people, here, BSD can. I can basically, for the price of a beer, talk to anybody for, 10, 15 minutes. But still, you you get the idea. Don't pretend to like someone just so you can get information out of them. Yes.
So by the time you finish publishing your book, and you need, if you want to publish your book to coincide with the release, you actually need to get information on what's going to be in the release before.
Yes. You need to know what is coming before it gets there. For example, I readjusted the OpenBSD book. You guys rewrote PF after I delivered the final manuscript. I did. I contacted the publisher. I rewrote the last chapter and turned it into three chapters and caught up because I had found that out before the release. I'm hoping to work a lot more with the community. The first OpenBSD book was a little different in that I had been hanging around the FreeBSD crowd for a few years before I wrote that book. The OpenBSD crowd is a little more rough and tumble. And I was not a committer. I was just a user. I'm still not a committer. So, yeah, okay. At this point, after writing six nonfiction books, I have abandoned my dignity. I'll email anyone about anything. Of course, it helps that I have six books under my belt and people, I have a little more credibility, not with you in particular, just as an author, I can mail random people and say, yes, it helps. So I think we are missing the food. I'm happy to talk with anyone about publishing. I really want the people here to write some books. There is a FreeBSD device driver book coming out at last this year, and that's going to help. But we need books on some very specific things that we are doing in this community. Sorry? Don't worry about the bookshelf in the store. The bookstore market is very small. The place to look really is online booksellers. If the book is available, it will be found. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to go to bookstores and see my book on the shelf. At BSD Can in 06, I think it was, Drew Levine, Greg Leahy, and I walked to Chapters to play whose book is on the shelf. Don't play that game. It's really depressing. As it turned out, they had two copies of my new PGP book. Those may have been the only two copies it sold. And I signed them. Once the book is signed, it cannot be returned. So, I won that particular round. But that is the last time I have seen my book, any of my books, on a bookstore shelf. You can't